command launch control. The code has been loaded and has passed all required security checks. The final countdown has begun. 3, 2, 1. Ship.
Hello, this is Michael Lehman. I'm your host at SoftwareLand.org. And this is a very special program from SoftwareLand, not one of my regular podcasts, but yesterday marked the end of an era, which for many of us began in the mid-1970s. I, along with many of the fellow members of my digital research family, attended a memorial service for Dorothy McEwen, who, along with Gary Kildall, founded the company originally known as Intergalactic Digital Research that changed how hundreds of millions of people live and work. Gary and Dorothy started DRI in the garage out back of their home on Bayview Avenue in Pacific Grove, a quiet coastal village whose motto is the last hometown. Over nearly two decades, DRI, starting with the invention of the personal computer operating system and its one quantum leap idea, the BIOS, not only pioneered many of the technologies we take for granted today, it also grew to be the largest employer on the Monterey Peninsula, with, at its height, over 600 employees. Gary was the quintessential software folk hero. He loved to code, he lived to code. Dorothy had the ultimate complementary skills and built a business around Gary's creations. I started a small company with my first wife, Nancy, in 1979 to build Pascal compilers, and in late 1981, we received an offer from Gary and Dorothy to join forces, and so we were acquired and moved, along with our amazingly capable assistant, Patty McCracken, north to join DRI. We were employees 61, 62, and 63. What we had no idea of is that we would find an amazing family of people with whom we would share what turned out to be history. Those of us who started writing software in the late 1960s and early 1970s always wanted to spend more time and more time with our computers than we could either afford or were allowed. 30 years ago, computers came in one or more 6-foot-tall equipment racks, had to live in specially air-conditioned rooms, and unless you were very lucky or very rich, had to be shared with others. The overarching mood of the time was, I wish I could have one all to myself. What Gary and Dorothy did was to enable that revolution. Gary's invention of the BIOS that allowed a nearly infinite variety of hardware implementations to run CPM, and Dorothy's marketing acumen and management skills that allowed them to grow a business based on a product that cost $70 and $50,000 for an unlimited OEM license, enabled those of us who just couldn't wait to build our hardware, write a BIOS, and most importantly of all, share our work with other people. To this day, there are still people running CPM on both real hardware and emulators. And when you fire up a DOS prompt on your PC, you still see the familiar C greater than prompt we were all thrilled to see when our first BIOS worked. Well, actually, it was an A greater than prompt because we had one or two 8-inch floppy disk drives, if we were lucky, that were called A and B, and C didn't come along until you got a hard disk a few years later. My personal CPM moment came in February of 1977. I was a hardware hacker and a software developer and had built a number of microcomputer systems and was considering building a floppy disk controller for my MSI 8080. It was the number 7 unit off the second production run of MSI, which I had bought a year and built a year earlier. At that time, the magazine to read for digital circuit hackers was called Electronic Engineering Times. When I saw a small classified advertisement for a floppy disk operating system, CPM 1.0, for $70, I hopefully sent off my check to P.O. Box 579, Pacific Grove, California. A place, from my viewpoint in the snowy February in Iowa, seemed like a million miles away. About a week later, I got my two diskettes and three stapled together manuals, and I was off and running. I think I must have written nearly 50 CPM BIOS implementations between 1977 and 1983, and the day I saw my own home-built floppy disk controller bring up that A greater than prompt, it was indescribable. I'm indebted to Dorothy and Gary for their vision and courage, but most importantly, I am grateful for their spirit, which continues to inspire me and my fellow members of the digital research family every single day. And that's it for now from SoftwareLand. Digital research, RIP. It will live forever in our hearts.